So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the NVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go catch up on the latest and join our RSS feed and all the good stuff that goes with that. You know, I tell you, I love that little mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore soundbite. Because that's exactly the way I feel, exactly the way a lot of people are feeling in America today. And we'll get into some of the reasons why in just one second. But first, as always, how are you, Mr. Martin?
I'm doing all right.
Okay. Yep.
Doing the working man middle class blues. Just got finished leaving Walmart. having to buy new tires for the daughter's old Mercury. I tell you, sometimes you almost feel like a bad parent because we looked at the tires and I said, you know, one of them's still good. She looked at me like, are you seriously going to buy three tires? And I'm like, he's like, you know, we'll be back here in 6 months to get the fourth. I'm like, God, already? Hello, Ed. Hello. Ed should be good and worked up by the time he gets picked big for
you.
Come on, Earth Day Ed. Come on. Move around. Get your own work to keep up with you, Ed.
Okay. Ed Martin, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, man. I've got to tell everybody right now. We are having a problem with Blog Talk Radio tonight. There is a big message on the front of my host screen that says that some hosts are experiencing some issues connecting to their dial-in number, etc. Some of the guest lines are having issues, so they want to make sure that we know that. So if you guys have any sound issues tonight, it is a BTR problem, and supposedly they're working on it. You know, Ed, one thing we don't want to do is let our daughters and our wives go out there with a bad tire. Who gets called when they get stuck on the side of the road when it's 0 degrees outside?
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, I just,
by four,
it,
man.
It's just funny. I'm thinking, boy, I'm definitely, you know, it's I'm every man because I hate to say it. I kind of felt like Speed Chase or something in one of the vacations. It's like, I'm thinking about three tires. I really am.
I know, man. I know. I tell you what, I was upset today. I actually had my truck fixed today and had to write a check for that. Boy, that was ugly. But you know what? It was worth it, though. They got it right. But anyway, you know, one of the things you probably didn't run into today, though, was having a bad coupon. I don't know if you've seen this story yet or not, but, you know, one of the things that people are always looking for, we're always looking for bargains, right? So you're sitting here talking about this. And we've got to realize, Best Buy decided they were going to put out a coupon. They were offering $50 off a $100 purchase if you purchase with a MasterCard. So everybody and their brother decided they were going to invade Best Buy. They downloaded this internet coupon. And, you know, so everybody's like, Are you there, Mr. Martin?
Yeah, I figured out how to solve the problem, too.
What's that?
Well, when my phone started buzzing, and I apparently went dead, I thought, well, what a great opportunity to reach over and grab a mouthful of Pringles.
Well, we're going to...
I'm munching on it. It's like, you know, about the minute I get these things to crunch, and it's like, damn it, I'm coming back on.
There we go. Okay. Well, we're going to try a little bit different situation here. I've changed the setup once again here at the house. You know, I have my office in my home. We don't have these kind of problems very often, but apparently, you know, it's, I don't know. But anyway, the deal is Best Buy decided they were going to put a coupon out and that they were going to offer $50 off for anybody who spent $100 or more with a MasterCard. Of course, you know, the coupon had some restrictions. You can't buy iPods or some TVs they wouldn't allow it on, that kind of a deal. But Best Buy made a major mistake when they put this coupon out on the Internet. They decided that they forgot to put on there a limit on how many coupons per customer could use. If you ever look at your coupons, it usually says limit one per customer, limit two per customer, something like that.
Yeah,
they didn't do this.
Other offers, yeah.
Yeah, right. They didn't do this. So what happened was people were buying coupons, going out and getting, you know, thousands of dollars worth of gift cards, Amazon cards, you name it, using this deal. So rather than Best Buy obviously caught on to the air pretty quick, but not after a lot of people have spent thousands of dollars on the Internet with these coupons. So rather than take the hit, you know, admit they screwed up, make it a one-day sale, whatever, they decided, check this out, that they were just going to cancel the coupons altogether. They were telling people at the cash register that those coupons were no longer valid. They weren't going to accept those coupons. And they reissued the coupon, changed the entire promotion, made it a one-day sale, valid for one purchase only, and they excluded all the gift cards that people bought online at Amazon and Slick Deals and stuff like that. That's incredible to me. How do they get away with that?
Well, I have no idea. I'm sure there's some legal standing, but or maybe not. Maybe they'll find themselves in hot water. But, I'm not an electronics person anyway. I can definitely find better things to spend my money on. So, if you went out bargain hunting and, hey, you went out racked up debt to buy a screen TV, you don't need that's a first world problem. But, yeah, it's definitely... You know, you'd think, especially since you're an electronics store, and if I'm not mistaken, you know, they have the Geek Squad and everything else. It's like, yeah, you think you'd have caught that.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's fascinating. Well, it's fascinating is mistakes happen. But Best Buy, you know, you're not talking about a mom-and-pop store who's going to lose their shirt. You know, in most cases, when a company does something like that, what do? They take the hit. They take the hit. You know what I mean? And they didn't take the hit. So now all these people that bought these cards online, are they going to get refunds from Amazon? Are they going to get refunds from Slick Deal? Who knows? But I find it very interesting that we've got a situation like this going on over something as simple as a coupon, you know, and Best Buy screwed up and they're refusing to honor what they offered. So I thought that was an interesting story. You know, we've got another little story going on here before we start getting into the major Obama messes. Lori Loria. Yes, that's her name. Lori Loria, a mom of a student in Florida, an elementary student at that. She's the mother of a daughter in a Florida elementary school. Actually wrote a $12,000 check to the school to pay for what? A full-time armed guard at her daughter's elementary school to protect that school. What do we say about this, man?
Well, hey, you know, we sometimes say, and it's one of my more popular sayings, is put your money where your mouth is. Looks like they did it.
That's exactly it. And, you know, this is interesting to me because everybody's screaming and hollering about armed security and where's the money going to pay for it, you know, and all this other stuff. You know, the security apparently is about a $32 an hour cost for an armed deputy. You know, that's 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. Now, why do I get $32 an hour is beyond me. But that's the average cost, I guess. But her donation is going to pay for 2 months' worth of this security. And, you know, she also made a verbal commitment to continue paying for the rest of the year. So I guess she's going to pay more money later. But this is fascinating to me because here you have it. How many parents do we have in school that would gladly contribute
they would gladly contribute $5 or $10. Now remember, you've got thousands of kids in these schools. How many parents would gladly continue $5 or $10 a piece to make sure that that school was protected? So it
yeah.
is.
Oh
is
yeah, I mean,
do it?
Yeah, I think that's legitimate. It's always been to me. It's like why we do that anyway? Why would we have to do that? I mean, when you think of how much the school systems spend on per pupil, you know, and the pensions and everything else that go into it, and you get 1,000 kids in a school in some cases it's just a few hundred.
Right.
Look, they're worthy of some kind of protection, because that's one of the things I catch a lot of people saying, well, you know, courthouses have no gun-free zones and all this, that, and the other. It's like, yeah, they also employ armed guards. So what are you telling me? That a bunch of lawyers making money off the system we fund and, you know, or judges or politicians or whatever. Yeah, hey, you go
yeah.
to the state capitol. The politicians, you got to go. Those are armed guards. You got to go through. You got to go through metal detectors and stuff like that. It's like, oh, so it's good enough for them, but it's not good enough for the kids. There you go.
And that's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, it's even in the case of President Obama. Everybody says you're splitting hairs and all this other stuff when you talk about it. But the reality is, President Obama wants to take away your guns. Doesn't want guns. Armed guards guarding schools. But his own kids go to school every day with armed escort. So, you know, it doesn't matter to him because it doesn't personally affect him. And we, the taxpayers, are paying for those escorts. He's not. You know, Flagler County Sheriff Jim Manfrey told the Daytona News Journal that while he appreciates Luria's concern, having a parent for an officer and paying for an officer is just a Band-Aid solution to a security issue that should be addressed at every school. I actually agree with the sheriff on that. This is a Band-Aid solution. However, it's the start. It's going to force the discussion towards how do we keep our schools safe and force our school districts to talk about security. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and in the end, it's like, okay, so it's a Band-Aid solution, but hey, not asking the taxpayers to pay for the Band-Aid now, are we?
Exactly. So, you know, I'm enjoying this. I really am. Because I've got a situation here that I look at this and I'm thinking, wow, everybody's screaming about security. And, you know, we're some of the people that always gripe and moan and groan and complain because nobody stands up. And I admit that freely. Well, this is somebody that stood up. This is somebody that stood up. And when we were talking about education spending, you know, let's be realistic here. We have the money that we're spending already in education. We could actually afford to put an armed guard in every school if we wanted to. And it wouldn't cost any more money. And I'll give you a great example of this, because right here in Kentucky, I did a story back in 2009, and I was talking about education spending and stuff, and education spending has actually went up since then. But education in Kentucky in 1996, 60% of our total budget went towards education. That's a huge number of the total budget being spent on education, folks. But in 1996, that 60% equated to about $9 billion. Okay, that we were spending on education. Education in 2008 was still 60% of the budget, and it's still 60% of the budget today. But however, 12 years later in 2008, that 60% of the budget equated to, guess what, $19 billion. Education spending more than doubled in 12 years in the state of Kentucky. We didn't double the student population, and we certainly didn't double the cost, did we?
No, and we didn't, and our facilities are, I'm sure some have been improved, but they're still not state-of-the-art now.
Exactly. So we continue throwing money at the schools. We're proving it right here in Kentucky. All right, we've more than doubled everything right here in Kentucky, and we still have security problems. We still don't have enough teachers, they say. We still don't have enough security, they say. There's all kinds of things going on. You know what I mean? So it's very, very interesting to me. It's very interesting to me that, you know, we've got parents out there who are stepping up to the plate while the school system is still saying they can't afford it. That just drives me nuts. So we've got the money. So what is the real problem here?
Tell you what, I to a degree, I don't really have any idea. I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, there's complexities involved with being gun-free zones, and some parents are going to not even be satisfied with that. They're going to find fault with it and say, oh, well, you know, this person has a gun in the school, something could go wrong, you know. Yeah, I'm sure there's issues like that, but, you know, it's like, look, we want to challenge the status quo on one end of the spectrum. Why aren't we challenging it on the other? It's like, great, you know, you want to talk gun control, you want to do this because you feel bad about the kids. Okay, but, you know, I'll be honest, LaPierre from the NRA was probably a bit over the top, saying we should put an armed guard in every school, you know, like,
sure.
Well, you know, bad timing and maybe not, you know, but if maybe you should just make it a point to, you know, I'm not so sure about the armed guard in every school. I'm saying, look, if someone wants to pay for it, take them up on the offer. But the thing that I look at is like, look, every high school football game you go to, any gathering where there's over, you know, a few hundred people, there's usually a cop somewhere nearby, you know, whether it's a Tea Party gathering, an Occupy gathering, a high school football game, or hell, a rugby game in the park on Saturday. There's usually a cop nearby. So as we talked about the Sandy Hook, why it took so long for the police to get there, like, look, you've got a concentration of people. You know they're going to be there X amount of hours. Perhaps you could just have a cruiser not at any point in time be any further away from, you know, a school than so many miles, so your response time is limited. Perhaps they can coordinate their resources better. But, getting off on that tangent, as far as somebody else is paying for it, take them up on it. Hell, my youngest daughter says when I offer a buck to do something, she just looks at me and says, I'll take your money.
Why are you? But see, here's the thing, though, Ed.
Somebody else is paying for it, take them up on the offer.
But here's the thing, you know, they do car washes for school uniforms, they do bake sales for everything in the world, they do fundraisers. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can generate this money, and, you know, without the school district having to pay for it, because they're going to moan and groan about it constantly. You know, it's not going to affect retirement, because you use armed security guards, you use private security firm. So you don't have to worry about going onto the state payroll and add another state employee that's going to get paid retirement pensions and everything else. You know, but what you're looking at here, though, is a real cost of somewhere around $36,000 to $37,000 a year. And that's based on the $32 an hour figure here. Now, if you're not into armed guards and security, fair enough. But spend the same $36,000 or $37,000 a year securing this school. How much security can you buy, you know, with secure windows, metal detectors, whatever, over time when you're spending $36,000 to $37,000 a year? That's not much money.
Yeah.
Per school.
How much would it cost to, you know, look, my daughters go to Mercy Academy here in Louisville, and every morning they basically, from what I don't know if the city's bringing for it or not, but there's always a sheriff and a city policeman directing traffic. It might be, you know, they might be doing it just because there's traffic and that's the city's job. But then again, you know, it's always the same too. So I suspect that they're probably contracted to do this. And
right.
Like I say, so they can be contracted to direct traffic. They're in the area, and that's the thing. How much is it going to cost just for the police departments to allocate resources? I mean, where else are you going to be during a school day? Because you got 1,000 kids in a school. Be nearby. Where else are you going to be? What are you going to do? Out just writing tickets or something? I think kids are more important than tickets.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, if you look at it, I mean, the cops aren't just sitting around writing tickets 24 hours a day. Most of the time they're sitting in the car waiting for something to happen. So, I understand that. But, I mean, the point is, though, we've got money available. We've got parents who are proven and willing to step up to play and take school security serious. We've got resources available, or at least avenues to get the resources we need. Okay? The point is, somebody is taking a stand and getting involved to try to make a difference, and that's exactly what it's going to take. We need to pursue this discussion. We need to quit worrying about gun bans and Barack Obama sitting out here trying to be dictator for life and trying to attack the Constitution and bypassing Congress in the interim. We need to get serious about the real issue. If the real issue is security in schools, then let's deal with that issue. Let's get off of the gun ban garbage, and let's take a look at this mother who felt so strongly about her daughter's safety in her own school that she's actually spending her own money trying to put an armed security guard there. What lesson do we learn from that? That's the issue for me. is what lesson do we learn from that, and what can we do from there? You see what I mean? That's the issue for me.
And to me, it also just gets to the common sense aspect of it. This is going to reveal one way or the other whether the bureaucracy of government, whether it's in law enforcement, the school boards, or government elected officials per se, are you guys so constipated? Are you so retentive that when somebody else offers to pay for it, you can't find a way to make it work? Are you that damn dysfunctional?
Well, that's it. That's it. You know, we've got all these problems. We've got every opportunity in the world. We've got great solutions out there, at least options. Yes, they're that dysfunctional, and that's the problem. And, you know, last night we were talking, just to switch gears a little bit. Well, you know what? We're going to save this for after the break because we really need to get a break in. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll get into some more of the inauguration festivities yesterday. I found very laughable. Let's get serious about unemployment, and let's talk about the Chinese. Those are going to be some interesting stories you're not going to want to miss. We'll be right back on the Ed Springer Show. Stay tuned.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springer of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising.
I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
All right, we are back, folks. We are back. I tell you what, it's, you know, I've got to apologize once again. BTR is having problems. I've noticed a few people that are normally in the queue are coming in and they're being dropped or something, so I apologize. Catch us on Stitcher.com for the replay. You can also go to LouisvillePolitics.com for a replay of the show. All podcasts are uploaded there as well. That's the tech end of it. We really can't control from this end, and I apologize for that for our faithful listeners. But moving forward, there's a lot of things. Ed, before I go too far with this, I want to point out a couple of things. You know, the inauguration was yesterday and everything else, and I want to get into unemployment. I want to get into Chinese and all that. But a couple of interesting things that I found based on the inauguration events from yesterday, one of which, rapper Lupe Fiasco. That's his name, Lupe Fiasco. He was doing an inaugural event on Sunday. He was the headliner for the Startup Rock On concert a Sunday inaugural event. He's a 30-year-old Chicago rapper. And apparently, they didn't like what he was saying. Lupe Fiasco has been out there publicly rapping against Barack Obama. And he did that again on Sunday at the inauguration event. So he took the stage. He's on stage for about 30 minutes. And apparently, they didn't like the fact that the promoters didn't like the fact that he was putting down Obama and challenging Obama. So they removed him from the stage. The headliner, folks, got removed from the stage on Sunday. What do you say about that, Ed?
Well, you know, if it's a privately funded party and you step out of line, I guess they have the right to. I think it's kind of funny, though. It's, you know, in the era of free speech and stuff, they have the right to remove him. I'm guessing whoever's paying for it had every bit of a right, but kind of good for him, though. You know, he's exercising his free speech, and I guess in the rapper form, he wasn't going to be anybody's bitch. He was going to say what he wanted to see. He was going to say what he felt like saying when he felt like saying it. So, you know, hey, with that right comes a responsibility. Guess what? They're going to show you the door later.
Well, what's interesting to me is, you know, this isn't the first time Fiasco has actually bashed Obama. He's been very critical of the president. As a matter of fact, last summer, he was doing some press for his, he had an album out called The Great American Rap Album Part 1, and he described Obama as a child killer, while he was doing his press events. He was talking about the drone attacks that Obama is taking all this credit for, and how these drone attacks are killing mothers, innocent bystanders, children, you know, the collateral damage that Obama doesn't want to take any responsibility for. So it's not that, you know, Fiasco has not been publicly anti-Obama on issues. If they're going to do an inauguration event for the president and they invite him to be the headliner, knowing that he is very vocal against this president, and then they have security guards remove him from the stage, what does that say about the guys that put this together? It's a presidential inaugural event. You're going to take an anti-Obama guy and put him on stage and expect him to shut up?
Yeah, I think you got some guys that were operating on some pretty thin assumptions there. They're thinking, okay, Chicago area rapper, he's got to be friendly, right? You know, I guess they also missed things like the big boy. You know, he spelled his last name B-O-I, big boy interview where he was saying, hey, he feels the same way. He doesn't like the unnecessary wars, war on drugs. It's like, don't assume everybody is, you know, in your camp just because they fit a certain demographic. Because, well, let's be honest, that would be racial profiling, wouldn't it? Now,
well, yes, it would. But I tell you what. So here, yeah. This guy gets kicked off a stage for you know exercising his First Amendment rights artistically through his music, of course. He gets kicked off a stage. So they literally have security guards drag him off of stage, and yet it's okay.
Let's be honest. In this day and age, he has got street creds now. he dissed the president at a party thrown for the president. It's like, okay, you got your street creds now.
Well, he made the president his biatch. But, you know, I mean, let's look at the reality here, though. It's not okay for somebody to use their First Amendment rights artistically through their music without being escorted off the stage and taking away, you know, he's the headliner. I mean, remember this. This isn't somebody that just showed up and they put on stage. This is a headliner. He was invited to do this knowing that he had this anti-Obama sentiment. So, you know, the organizers are idiots. But it's not okay for Lupe to exercise his First Amendment rights. But it's okay for Beyonce, who was hailed yesterday as this beautiful voice, this, oh, my God, it was the best national anthem I'd ever heard sung. Beyonce is the bomb. Turns out it was all lip-synced. It's okay.
She did.
At the inauguration, the president is right there. It's okay for her to lip sync, but it's not okay for Lupe. I just don't get the paradox here. I just don't understand it.
Well, I mean, she, in all fairness to her, she did. Apparently, she did sing it. They just managed to pipe it in, and it was cold. But yeah, you know what the hell? It's again for me. I don't fault him for doing that because, you know, hell, after the what was her name that missed up some of the words in the national anthem.
That's everybody. Insert name here. Nobody sings the national anthem the way it was meant to be sung anymore anyway. They all got to ad lib something. But
Christina, I think it was Christina Aguilera. You don't want to mess the words up. It's cold. You don't want to. You don't want to hit an off note. I get that. But you know, fine. Just don't put on airs. I mean, if you're gonna, okay, whatever.
I don't know. I mean, I just have this.
Play a video of it and let us know it's recorded. But yeah, what the hell? That's Hollywood. That's just the way that goes. You know,
explain that to me, though. Don't give me the code excuse for me. I've got the Milli Vanilli in my head because of her. Seriously, all I'm thinking that was Milli Vanilli. I mean, Kelly Clarkson performed live. She sang My Country Tis of Thee live. Bill Clinton got caught gawking around at people in front of him to stare at her butt. So, you know, there's a nice picture of that out there, too. So, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing, though. Don't make her something she's not. I'm not saying Beyonce can't sing. I think Beyonce's got a great voice. But she's sitting here taking credit for this great live performance and everything else that was anything but. You know, Master Sergeant Christine Dubois said the band was notified at the last minute that Beyonce was going to use a pre-recorded voice track. They were notified at the last minute that she wasn't going to be singing live. She was going to be ad-libbing this and lip-syncing. You know, so we're going to start calling her Beyonce Vanilli. That's it. I have no other thing I can do. Because, you know, everybody else did their thing live except her. Is she such a diva that she can't do a live performance on a national stage with the President of the United States, a song about our country, our national anthem? Is she that much of a diva? That is scary. It really is. So I've got a major problem with that. So, you know, but Lupe Fiasco is going to get chastised for going through, you know, with what he is known for, what he does. He's going to get chastised for exercising his First Amendment while Beyonce gets off the hook for making a mockery of our national anthem on the biggest stage in the world. I just find the paradox there incredible. There is no outrage, and I can't understand why. Speaking of outrage, Ed, I really want to get into a serious issue here, too, as well. Apparently, you know, we've been talking about...
More serious than Beyonce lip-syncing?
You know, it's tough. It really is. It's tough. It's going to be close.
Okay, let's go there. It's time to stop. Let's go there.
You know, for quite some time now, we've had this thing with the Chinese trying to get into our U.S. energy policies, our energy production. In 2005, George Bush, his administration, blocked China having any equity interest in our U.S. energy production, basically on the grounds of national security. Apparently, China in 2005 was ready to spend $18.4 billion to purchase Unocal. It's California-based Unocal Corporation. Bush administration blocked them because they said it was a national security risk. Apparently, national security doesn't matter to Barack Obama now. Obama is secretly right now trying to allow – he's allowing China. He's not trying to allow him. He is allowing him to acquire ownership interests in oil and natural gas resources across the United States. He is now allowing China to compete for the U.S. oil and natural gas resources. And apparently, it's being speculated. You can go to WND.com for this story, folks. Apparently, they're speculating that it's because of all the money that Beijing keeps lending to us. There's a $1 trillion plus annual federal budget deficit since Obama took office that's going to continue and actually grow in his second term. So he's trying to keep the Chinese happy. Is this smart for America?
Well, I think, you know, at some point we do have to look at it as a national security issue. And whether it makes good business or not, you know, if they're tapping our resources, I guess in a free market sense, turnabout's fair play if they're going to pay the price. But, yeah, from a national security, it's an unusual place for us to be. I think it could be monitored. It could be profitable. Because one of the things that goes with oil, it's fungible. It really, on the world market, of which we are a part, doesn't really matter where it comes from. It all sells for the, you know, for the same price and to the highest bidder on the world market. You know, And I think, along that lines, I believe I was, it's a scan article between breaks at work. But I also think the Chinese are exerting themselves in Iran, or Iraq, as it would be. It's nearby, and they are, Iraq is a sovereign country, and they're, we go in and we throw Saddam Hussein out, we occupy it, and it costs trillions of dollars and thousands of lives. And now they're, as is their right, we don't want to be overly imperialistic. It's just the right amount,
but I'll tell you,
they're selling their oil to the, the Chinese are coming in and setting up shop there, and I'm sure a few other countries are too. So we go in, liberate them, take the oil out of the hands of Saddam Hussein, and poof, somebody else comes in and says, hey, we're
But here's the deal.
Mind if we buy some oil?
But here's the deal. According to the International Labor Organization, and their annual report that just came out today, they have said the UN, their jobs watchdog program at the UN, has estimated that unemployment is going to rise by 5.1 million people this year. The total unemployment across the world is going to be 202 million, and it's going to continue rising each year for the next couple of years. So we already know we have an unemployment problem across especially the industrialized nations like the U.S., okay? So global unemployment is going to hit a new record, all right? Now, the story that I'm reading comes from Reuters, and Reuters is saying that the International Labor Organization has also revised its jobless figures down each year, all right? So these estimates are actually projections, but the reality, the actual numbers have actually come in lower. However, what they do, you guys got to forgive me tonight too. I'm having a major problem with this voice again. What they do, though, the numbers have been changed to reflect lower numbers, not because we have less unemployed, but even the ILO has admitted that the reason those figures go down each year is because the number of those giving up the job hunt altogether is growing. Once you give up the job hunt, you're no longer classified as unemployed. So, half of the unemployment in this country alone does not get counted because people have given up looking for a job because they can't find one. And it seems to be the same pattern across the world. Now, why is this relevant when we're talking about Chinese owning U.S. energy interests? I tell you why this is relevant. Because Beijing has been working with the Obama administration to put in together a proposal, all right, so that they can buy real estate on American soil. Real estate on American soil that's owned by China will be set up as what they call development zones. Are we familiar with that here in Louisville, enterprise zones, et cetera? They're going to be set up as development zones that's going to allow them to establish Chinese-owned businesses on U.S. real estate. And, oh, by the way, what does this have to do with unemployment? It's going to allow China to bring in its own citizens to the U.S. to do our work. That's why it's important. So they're going to set up these development zones for the Chinese-owned businesses, and China's going to be able to import their workers from China and bring them to the U.S. to go to work. When we've got unemployment that's unacceptable, unsustainable, right here in the U.S. So our U.S. workers aren't going to benefit from any of this. China's going to get all the benefit from this. How do we justify that, Ed?
Well, we don't. I mean, I see no way, about the only way I could see them justifying it is if by some stretch, and by some legislation, that they have to pay them a fair and comparable wage, something along the lines of like prevailing wage or something. But, that remains to be seen.
You're not going to get the prevailing wage. You're not going to get any of that.
Well, if you're not, I mean, you can't. I'm sure there's got to be some laws applying to it because they can't have people working like you do at Foxconn with 2 minute potty breaks every couple hours.
I beg to differ. How many illegals are in this country working that aren't even getting minimum wage? We know that they're getting abused, that the employers are not following federal law and wages.
We do. I'm saying if we set it up, we can hope that our government monitors it well enough and our government enforces laws well enough.
See, that's that faith thing, though, Ed. You've got faith that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't. They've proven that they're not willing to do that. They've proven that they're not willing to hold employers accountable. So, my point, I guess, is this. This is just another way to bring in new, low-skilled labor, low-wage labor, that the government's going to turn their back on, that's going to drain even more resources from our U.S. tax base. And they're doing it with communistic Chinese. What has happened to America? That's why I want to figure out. What has happened to America when we allow something like this, when President Obama is setting this up and allowing this and working on this? I mean, you know, when we look at China and their first major move, trying to get into U.S. oil and gas. Now, remember, in 2005, George Bush denied them that because he said it was a national security risk, of which I agreed, and so did most people then. But Barack Obama allowed it in October 2009. He allowed Chinese energy giant CNOOC to buy a multimillion-dollar stake in 600,000 acres of South Texas oil and gas fields. So he brought China in here, supposedly to appease them because we continue borrowing so much money from them. And now he's going to allow them to import low-wage Chinese workers that are going to be abused, just like the illegal Mexicans are abused in this country. We have the laws, but we don't enforce them. How is this good for anybody other than Barack Obama and the Chinese government?
Yeah, well, I don't even see how it's good for Barack Obama. I mean, yeah, it's, again, to be honest, I don't know that awful much about it. I haven't read up on this, but hey, I'm not going to hire him for what it's worth. But yeah, I mean, and the other angle is what are they going to be making? And are we, you know, once again, is American small business going to be put in the crosshairs? You know, if this, in fact, works out to be some sweetheart deal and they get these enterprise zones going, is this not only going to be not beneficial for American workers and American business, is it going to be detrimental? Are they going to stateside more industries that are tightly held by the Chinese to displace more small businesses and the jobs that come with them? It could be an absolute mess.
Well, you know, that's it, and we're already going to have an absolute mess because now we've opened that door. Even the UN says that unemployment is rising more than they're willing to admit because of the people who don't longer look for a job. And now we're telling China, hey, you know what? We've got millions of people unemployed. Here in the U.S., we've got millions of people unemployed. Come on in. We're going to let you take over all our oil and gas so you control our energy production. So you're going to control our energy production. You already control our money because you're lending us megabucks. We run over $1 trillion annual federal budget deficit each and every year. So you control our money. Now you're going to control our energy, and you're going to be able to bring your own people in here to help you do that and screw the American people once more. I don't understand why nobody is standing up to this. It clearly defies logic to me. I've got no clue how this is happening or why we're allowing this to happen. You know, China has already received permission from the Canadian government to buy their oil and natural gas interest, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, so you know, they're going to be picking up, they're buying the Canadian energy producer Nexen Inc. for $15.5 billion. China's got money hand over fist, folks. They've got money hand over fist. And we're allowing them to come in and take over the U.S. because we have nobody else we can borrow from. Do we still need to sit here and talk about cutting spending, or have we proven our point?
Oh, you long ago proved your point with me. I mean, it's always been a spending issue. Like I say, as for this, again, I'm part free market. Part of it says, hey, they got the money and we need the money. They've got us by the short hair. But, you know, the thing that probably gets me the most about it is like, all right, where are the unions on this? And you're just going to sit back and, you know, they get all up in arms over right-to-work laws, but then they don't, you know, if the possibility of importing foreign workers, you don't hear anything about them? I thought, that's right.
Union leadership only gets involved when it affects their pocket.
I'm just saying, it's like, all right, this is your president. This is your pal, or at least you thought he was. So I guess we're not going to make – and where's the mainstream media on it? I mean, once again – you know, when Scott Walker was in Wisconsin, the mainstream media was giving us all sorts of publicity on this right to work and everything else. You know, they're taking away the bargaining rights of the teachers, raising all kinds of hell. But then when this was like, oh wait, that's right, yeah. This is your pal that's in the White House that's negotiating these deals. Don't wanna pick a hornet's nest on that one now, do we? Because, you know, you're friends.
Well, and that's exactly it. I've become extremely alarmed that we're continuing to allow this, and mainstream media has all but disappeared. They really have. It's the same old song and dance that we continue to get. You know, do they have the money? Do we need money? Yeah, we need money. But we only need money because our Congress and our president refuse to do the right damn thing and stand by America, make the tough choices, and force us to be the best that we can be. We have to starve this beast in order to move ahead. But instead of doing that, he's going to sell us out to communist China. You know, it wasn't that many years ago that we, the American people, were watching the Tiananmen Square debacle unfold on TV. We were shocked, we were outraged, and we could not believe something like that could happen in the world today. And what are we doing? We're welcoming these guys in with open arms. But it's okay because it's Barack Obama welcoming them in with open arms. What has happened, Ed? I don't get this. I really don't.
I think we just got lazy, and you know, some of it might fall under what the hell. Hey, American Idol's on. Let's go watch it.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, and it's really fascinating because, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, I continue to focus on spending and stuff, and I continue looking at stuff like this, you know, is let's look at what's going on tomorrow. What's happening tomorrow? The House is going to go ahead and vote on a fiscal cliff deal that's not going to fix anything. They're just going to go ahead and basically extend our debt for another 3 months. They're scheduled to vote on that tomorrow. John Boehner, the House Republicans, are all on board with it. You know, nobody is standing up to make the hard choices. We have to reduce the cost of health care. We have to reduce the deficit. We have to do all these things, which is exactly what Obama said in his inaugural speech, but has proven completely opposite of that for the last 4 years. There's only one guy that has stood up and said, that's enough. Who is that guy, Ed?
Well, it could be Rand Paul or Thomas Massey.
It ain't Thomas Massey. He ain't been there long enough. Rand Paul has been doing this. He got there. Rand Paul is already, he's went public. He was doing a speech in South Carolina last night. He's already going public with everything, basically accusing the House Republican leaders, as in John Boehner, of having retreated in the face of confrontation. They're scared to stick to what we have to have, and he's accusing Boehner and everybody else of selling out, and he's right. Rand Paul, you know, he went on to say that he saw the speaker on TV handing Obama a flag. You know, and he went on, he kind of kidded, but it's serious, too. He said, Rand Paul went on to say he was afraid it was the white flag of surrender. It was the white flag of surrender. Is there any doubt about that?
Well, I think, and I try to be realistic about it. I know, let's face it, the deficit ceiling, the Republicans had a lot to do with it. So there's some guilt there, but that doesn't absolve them from doing this. But the thing that, and I understand that, you know, in all honesty, just as in a business, sometimes you got to take on just a little more debt to buy yourself a little more time, which is, in theory, what they're doing. The thing that's going to end up pissing me off about it, and we'll be talking about it in 3 months because that's when it comes to, is it 2 months and 3 weeks. That's when they'll get serious about it. It's like, okay, boys, look, you got 3 months. Get your ass to work now. Let's not make this another last-minute deal. Get your ass to work now. And the Republicans need to come up with some real spending cuts, not just like, oh, well, we want to raise it. You know, we want to whack two or three social programs and fund KEP. You know?
Well, let's not forget Mitch McConnell.
You know, that's just like, okay, that's all they ever come up with. It's like, you know what, if you really mean it, get it together. Start working on it now and prove me wrong. Get this thing settled in a month and a half and say, hey, you know what? The deficit ceiling is going up. You know, it runs out. The new debt deficit runs out in another month and a half. But, hey, we got a plan now. So we can start working on getting the votes and tweaking this thing out because, you know, for once, We didn't wait till the absolute last minute to get to work on it and,
right.
you know, give the media something to talk about.
Okay, but here's the deal. Because, you know, we know that that's the plan. And I tell you, we knew this a few weeks ago. First, when the Republicans caved on the initial fiscal cliff deal here just a few weeks ago, then we had Mitch McConnell going on TV doing the circuit with all the news organizations a couple of weeks ago when they were talking about gun control, and he said it's not going to come up anytime soon because for the next several months we're going to be dealing with this fiscal cliff issue and the debt. So we know that they're setting the stage to kick this can down the road. The three-month extension is not a surprise to any of us. But traditionally, the way these guys have been going for such a long time now is they continue kicking that can. There has never been any real budget discussion. All they have done is extend. We haven't had a budget in how long now? Think about that. We have not had a budget in years now. And all we continue doing is extending, borrowing more and more from China because they can't sit down and make the tough choices. The Democrats don't want to give up anything on the freebies or passing people to get elected to power. And the Republicans don't want to give up anything but KET. So, yeah, you know, it's the Uniparty alive and well. And in the meantime, we've got China slipping in the back door. We've got unemployment that's unsustainable and continuing to grow. You know, and nobody's doing anything. Nobody's doing anything. That is just phenomenal to me.
Well, it's all theater, and as long as they can keep us all terrified, you know, oh, it's a fiscal cliff. Oh, it's a sequester. Oh, it's this, you know. And what's it going to be, you know, what's it going to be next? Is this one crisis after, oh, it's the unemployment benefits or, they just keep manufacturing these crises, and they manufacture the fiscal cliff price and the debt ceiling crisis already. It's been manufactured. It's like we'll call it a quick fix and get back to fit. You know, we'll get back to work on it. But guys, can you just finish something for once? Can you start early on it? You know, it's kind of like you're this idiot stoner or something, college student or something. It's like everything coming up to the last minute, and you got to pull an all-nighter. Every time you've got a paper due, you got to pull an all-nighter because even though you've known about it for a month, you didn't do anything, and then, at night, crap, the library's going to close. Oh, it's a crisis. It's like, guys, really, grow up.
Well, here you go, Ed. Here's a couple of quotes for you, and then we'll get into closing, I guess, because we're running real short on time. But here's a quote for you, and I want you to tell me who said this and when. Those of us who manage the public's dollars will be held to account to spend wisely, reform bad habits, and do our business in the light of day, because only then can we restore the vital trust between a people and their government. Who said that and when did they say it?
I have, right off the top of my head, no idea. It sounds like something Barack Obama might have said during the financial crisis, but truthfully...
Very good, because Barack Obama did say that in his first inaugural address.
If somebody said it and followed it up, it probably would have been Andrew Jackson.
Exactly, but no, it wasn't followed up. That was one of the things that Obama said during his inaugural address in January of 2009. How has trust gotten between people and their government? 10 times worse, because he is not holding anybody to account, and we're not holding them to account. They haven't reformed any bad habits, and they haven't taken care of the public's dollars. Here's another one for you. And, yes, this is Barack Obama in January 2009 as well. He went on to say that the question we ask today is not whether our government is too big or too small, but whether it works, whether it helps families find jobs at a decent wage, care they can afford, a retirement that's dignified. Where the answer is yes, we intend to move forward. Where the answer is no, programs will end. Do we see anything telling us that he's working to make that statement out of his own mouth true? I don't.
No, can't see any programs that have ended. No.
No.
By that old metric, you know, for programs, if it's not working, then it should have ended. Then certainly, you know, with unemployment and the vast amounts of money we've borrowed to try apparently keep unemployment just where it's at, it's like, well, that's not working either, so...
Yeah, we're going to analyze whether government is working. We're proving more and more every day that it's not. He says he wants to analyze whether it helps families find jobs at a decent wage, explain the unemployment numbers today that continue to rise, explain the wages that we talked about last night. Today's wages are basically the same after inflation from the 70s.
Stagnating wages for 30 years, yeah.
Yeah, dignified retirement. How much money has been lost? You know, the stock market's gaining some now, but how much money was lost in the interim? So, you know, we've got whole retirements that have been gobbled.
Not only the private sector, but you also look whenever they come up with the actuarials assessments of Medicare, Medicaid, mm-hmm. and Social Security. Every mm-hmm. year they back it up. You know, they shorten
sure.
it. It's like, oh, it was going to be good to 2037. Looking more like 2035 now. It's like, okay, well, hey, good luck with that retirement with dignity.
Sure, that's exactly it. And there's one man standing alone, which shouldn't be anything typical. It shouldn't surprise anybody. Ron Paul stood alone for many, many years, and now his son Rand Paul is standing alone apparently as well. That's it, Ed. Final thoughts, my friend. We're out of time.
Hey, you know what? Like I said, let's make a note of it, and we get our 3 months extension. Somewhere around 2.5 months, we'll get serious about talking about it, and somewhere around two months, a week and 4 days, they'll be pulling the classic procrastinator all-nighters and stuff, and then we'll have maybe we'll get a decision, maybe we'll get something definitive, maybe we won't, maybe they'll just kick the can again, but right now, just the way they conduct their business, you got 3 months. They're going to burn the first 2.5 of it, just messing with crap like gay marriage and flag burning and wanting to have hearings on Benghazi and all sorts of other stuff. But they won't get to work on that until about two months and 3 weeks.
Yeah, so we could probably look somewhere around the 1st of April. You know, for me, I tell you, I'm just sick of the game. For Lori Loria in Florida, thank you. Thank you for standing up and telling the whole world that you're willing to make a difference. Nobody might not agree with you 100% on the difference that you're making. There's a lot of people who don't believe we should have armed security in school. I'm not one of them. I thank God that you had the guts to stand out to protect your child. Because that's what parents are supposed to do, is protect our children. For the rest of you guys who are listening to this show, and there's thousands of you, we appreciate each and every one of you, even our liberal friends who disagree with us. But I've got to tell you, you can't sit here and continue to defend the position of the liberal way of life in this country. You look at the statements that Barack Obama has made that I just pointed out, just a couple of them. Those are minor ones, folks. And you look at what's really going on. The economy is not getting any better. We're still in a recession. They keep conniving the numbers to try to prove that we're not. They've just proven that time and time again, even with the unemployment numbers. Unemployment is an indicator of whether you're in a recession or not. And the only thing they said is unemployment is at 7.8% and it's staying at 7.8%. But it's not because unemployment has went down. It's because people have quit looking for jobs. There's still more people becoming unemployed every single day. But as many that keep adding on, forget looking for jobs because they're that frustrated. Barack Obama talked about in his first inauguration speech about, you know, fair wages and a decent standard of living. He's done nothing to promote that agenda. He talked about having affordable health care. Health care costs have now risen exponentially and will rise double digits for the foreseeable future because of Obamacare, an ill-conceived, unthought-out plan that's going to destroy the small business and the health care system provided by employers throughout this country. We already know this. We've got proof of this. We've got employers that are cutting everybody back to part-time to avoid the tenets of Obamacare. We have to look at the big picture here. We are so dependent on opium or other people's money, as my friend Ed Martin likes to say. We are so dependent on opium that we are willing to sell out America to the Chinese communist government. We allow them to control our money because we've got to borrow from them constantly. Now we're going to give them our oil and gas reserves. They're going to control our energy policy. Barack Obama tried to go green, lost billions of dollars in the process. The only thing we've got that we can clearly try to get oil and gas dependent is oil and gas, and we could try to get independent energy, but we're not allowed to drill. You can bet that's going to change when the Chinese come in here. And now we're also allowing them to bring in their own workers. We're going to import Chinese workers to work for low substandard wages, just like we've done with the illegal Mexicans that are working. We've got problems in America, folks, but we have to work to fix those problems, and we're not going to do it following this liberal mindset of give everything to everybody and expect nothing in return. This is America. It's time to wake up and realize that and to take America back and make us proud of what we are. And what we are is the freest nation on earth and the number one nation that God's given this world to lead the way. We have to light that fire again. And until we do, we're going to continue falling further and further behind. That's it for tonight. Mr. Martin, thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Springsteen.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you Monday night. Tomorrow night, don't forget, I'll be here right at 7 o'clock, as always, with Mr. Dale the Truth. Thursday night, Dale the Truth on the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. And, of course, Sunday nights at 7, as always, with Ken Moman of Liberty Unbridled. In the meantime, that's a wrap, folks. You have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.